Let's go.
Hurry up.
It's not my fault. Just shut up and run.
Hold it right there.
Harry was a small-time crook.
Oh, boy.
Till he opened the door.
Oh, no, we're not ready for your audition.
Just take him. He's ready. You ready, right?
To a really big break.
Quit acting like the good guy. You got your partner killed. You killed him.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Old school method. Get me Gabe Perry on the phone.
But he'll need a real cop.
Detective lessons tomorrow for your acting.
Oh, are you the consultant?
If he wants to act the part.
You must be
Gabe Perry.
Still gay?
Me, no. I just like the name so much, I can't get rid of it.
Bang, bang!
So what do you do?
I'm a private detective. Bang, bang! She thinks I'm a detective.
Of all the idiot things to do.
Bang, bang! My sister was murdered. Are you going to help me?
I got to check my schedule.
Can you help me, Harry? Because you're not going to help me find somebody else.
So sometimes I have other... my caseload is pretty...
Thank you.
From Shane Black, the creator of Lethal Weapon.
Do not play detective.
Moron. Go home before the bad guys do something bad to you.
No! Two corpses in 3 hours. I mean, that's unusual, right?
Yes.
Comes a mystery.
It's a frame-up. First things first. Do you have the corpse?
I got rid of it.
You threw it away.
Yeah.
Look up idiot in the dictionary. You know what you'll find?
A picture of me?
No. The definition of the word idiot.
Ow. That starts with a kiss.
Why'd you lie to me?
It was an excuse to stay around you, so I mean, I think...
Ow! Did I just cut off your finger?
Yeah. It's on the floor. Pick it up. Pick it up.
And ends with a bang.
Where is the girl?
You put a live round in that gun.
Oh, yeah. There was like an 8% chance.
Eight. Who taught you math?
Robert Downey Jr.
What do you think, I'm stupid?
Val Kilmer.
Yes, I think you're stupid.
Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
Oh, hell.
Kiss me.
What?
Kiss me.
No. These lessons suck.
Welcome back to the movies. I am Ted Flint, joined by Jake Voss and Sean Chantez Festerman. We are here to honor the late Val Kilmer, who passed away, well, probably 3 weeks ago by the time this thing gets on the air. And we do it in the only way we can do any of our podcasts, which is all brought to you by thetailgatesociety.com. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, Amazon. I'm not even sure what the hell we're on anymore. We're out there. Find us on your podcast app of choice. Maybe, I don't even know. Maybe find some cassette tapes, pirate that shit. Maybe we're just like burned CDs that like people just like hand out. Like just like, you gotta listen to this shit. Like there's like currency.
Where are the street CDs that get handed out now?
Yeah.
I found a stash of my old burned CDs last week and terrified to put those into a CD.
Dude, I would love to have my, like the only thing I remember from one of my burned CDs is it went from DMX to Sweet Home Alabama to the beat. Like if I could have like a playlist of all the burnt, but anyways, like I said, find us on thetailgatesociety.com on your podcast app of choice. Back to the Movies is where we revisit a movie that one of us has not seen, or maybe it's just a movie none of us have seen in a minute. Like I said, Val Kilmer. We have done Tombstone. I don't think we've done Top Gun, but Jake thinks we've done Top Gun. So
yeah, I never did check on that, did I?
And I just decided that since I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and I didn't know if these two have actually ever seen it, that this seems like one that we're gonna do. Like it seems like almost forgotten when the Shane Black did The Nice Guys, and like this is like a precursor to that if you're in those Shane Black movies. But like, and it's all right, we're gonna get into it, but like I said before we start, though, if you've never seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which you should definitely seek it out, it is probably my favorite Val Kilmer movie. I mean, Tombstone's there, obviously, don't want everyone hating on me, but I like weird Val Kilmer, and it's always nice like when he like pull the weird Val Kilmer shit out. So, and it's also like Robert Downey Jr., like before he became himself again, like,
yeah, it's kind of his first, at least looking at his IMDb, yeah, it's kind of his first, like, coming back.
Well, I guarantee you could probably draw a direct line from this to Iron Man. Like, right. Like, so, anyways, we're going to spoil this movie in 90 seconds or less. As always, normally I get a little outrageous, but today's been kind of a shit show, so we have the wheel! I'm going to spin this big Price is Right wheel, it has all three of our names on it. Whoever it lands on is going to spoil this movie in 90 seconds or less, which I think will be a little hard, but here we go. And... It's on me. I don't, like, someone like called me out a while back, and the wheel never lands on me. I feel like that was kind of mean. I don't even remember who did the last one. It's often I pay attention. Did I do the last one? I don't know. No one knows. No one cares.
I'm pretty sure it was me.
All right. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is directed by Shane Black, written by Shane Black. He also did The Nice Guys and one of the Predator films. He is a credited screenwriter from the 80s. He did the first Lethal Weapon. He has like uncredited screenwriter help on a lot of like your favorite movies. Watch his shit. There should have been a sequel to this movie. There should have been a sequel to Nice Guys. But anyways, it is about Harry Lockhart, who is a thief, goes to L.A. to be a screen test. He gets shot once. He meets Gay Perry, played by the late Val Kilmer, who is amazing. This movie is full of one-liners and quips and all kinds of shit that, like, it was made for closed captioning. Like, it's really good for, like, catch shit that you might have missed. He runs into Harmony, played by Michelle Monaghan, who's from Iowa, which is in the last White Lotus episode. She's much more friendly in this show. Movie. Her sister gets killed. They see another murder. They try to figure out what the hell's going on. Lots of twists and turns and one-liners and people die. Someone loses a finger. And then Gay Perry gets shot and dies and comes back. So
literally blood coming out of his mouth, laying on his back on the ground, but he didn't die.
But yeah. And like I said, it is just fun. It is a fun movie to watch. It is a Christmas movie. Most Shane Black movies are set at Christmas. I don't know if you guys knew that. I'm kind of concerned that you don't know who Shane Black is. But we're going to get there. So,
I'm glad it was you that did this, because I had I've never done this before, but in case it landed on me, I did write out a whole thing, and it's long, and it probably only touches on maybe half of the movie. Dude, I missed so much in my write-up. I read back through it, and I'm like, oh, man, there's so many things. Like, I didn't even mention the finger thing. Like,
it's confusing. It's been a minute since I've watched.
Stuff happening nonstop.
Been a minute since I've sat down and, like, watched this. Like, I know the first 40 minutes pretty well. Up until the car and the dead body and the gun. Like, that part, we're forgetting the first 45. But then, like, the end, I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot this happened and whatnot. So, I guess the question is like, was this, as guys, your first time watching it? Is this your first time hearing about it? Is this your first time, like, knowing of this movie?
I've heard of it, but kind of only on the periphery of just, like, it comes up when somebody, another podcast, whatever, is talking about Val Kilmer, or, you know, lately that's been it, but or if somebody's talking about, like, Robert Downey Jr. and kind of his path of his fallout and then come back and that kind of stuff. I definitely had never seen it. I know, I don't think I'd ever watched a second of it, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's an interesting watch. I think Amazon Prime has it labeled as, like, a suspense or a drama or something when you start it, which
it's not.
I mean, suspense, but it's also, but when you look at the IMDb, it's like satirical, dark comedy, mystery, one of the first tag is bumbling detective, actually, on the page. I kind of wish I had actually a little bit of context going into it, because I couldn't tell. It took me too long to tell if it was trying to be serious or not. And I couldn't tell if it was bad and trying to be serious, or if it knew what it was and it was just leaning into it. Yeah. And so with that context, about halfway through, I'm like, okay, I'm laughing at, like, there's a lot of little spots and little lines that I'm laughing at.
So many good lines in this fucking movie.
And I don't know if there's any of them that have come out of the movie to be continuously used.
Oh, I have at least two,
but yeah, there were definitely lots of spots in the movie where Kilmer Downey Jr. just being great at being goofy and weird.
What did you do? Oh, I created dice. I love that fucking line. I'm like,
yeah, it's retired. I created dice. Yeah, I'm about in the same boat as Jake there. Like, I know the title of the movie. I knew nothing else about the movie. I've never seen it. I've seen it on TV before, and I think
that was one of the things after, excuse me, after Val Kilmer had passed away and people were talking about it. I feel like it was something that somebody said it was just on some TV channels a lot back in the day, but maybe, I don't know. I remember seeing it, but I never watched it. So I was in the same boat there. Like, I just went into it. I didn't know what this was going to be, what this was supposed to be, what they were going for. A real twist of it all was when I was watching it today, I was, I had to stop for about 15 minutes before the end and I had to go to dinner and do some other stuff. So like, I had to come back to it and I'm just like, I don't think I know what's going on. Like, I just don't understand what this movie is right now and like what we're trying to build to. And then it does kind of wrap up and then I had some questions again and I had to go back and restart. And I think I rewatched like the first half hour and I'm like, okay, it does make sense, but it definitely seems like one of those movies that if twisty. You rewatch it, definitely connects a lot better. Like,
cause like three times more and like three certain times they say it's wrapped up and then they're like, oh wait, no, that's, this is actually what happened. No, yeah. Wait, no, this is what actually happened. No, this is, and then the real what actually happened is really bad. It, like, it's kind of a tone at the end, like that's like almost too mean spirited for it. So, I'm glad that you guys discovered it. Like I said, I really liked it. I hope you. I mean, but like, this might be my favorite like discovered movie of a movie that I've ever discovered. Is so back in the day when I lived in Ames, a friend of mine worked for the university and he had keys to a bunch of buildings. Like, what is, so what's the smaller auditorium there? There's C.Y. Stevens, and what's the small one? Fisher, right? By Hilton.
Fisher Theater, yeah, I think that's right.
And so, like, he had keys to these buildings. And we discovered Kiss Kiss Bang Bang in a double feature with Green Street Hooligans, where we had heard the internet that these are, like, two movies you should reach out. We went, and we had candy and Mountain Dew and all kinds of shit. And we literally sat in an empty Fisher Theater at midnight. And we watched these movies back to back till 3 or 4 in the morning in it, like four of us in like a huge ass auditorium. And like we had the DVD up on like the projector. So like it projected onto the screen that is there.
Yep.
And just fucking drank Mountain Dew and ate Rich Pieces. And like I always like connect those two movies to that. And like they're vastly different movies.
Yeah.
But also, like, both kind of cult classics in their own right, where, like, they're niche movies. And, like, I remember just being blown away by Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, because, like, there's so many good lines. Like, I'm going to use one right now that I'm not going to use when it comes to the quotes. It's when that creeper's at the party at the beginning, and he's like, don't think, just leave. And he's like, I'm going to fuck you up. He's like, you'll try, and you'll fail, and I'll kick the shit out of you. And then, like, 2 seconds later, Harry's on the ground getting his ass kicked.
It cuts to him.
Getting his head beaten into the ground.
But he got the creep away from her, at least for a little while.
Well, she left with him. But, yeah. You know.
She needed that.
Like, yeah, he's like, you'll try and you'll fail. Or no, what's he say? Unless you're her doctor, get away from her.
Says, you better be her doctor. That's like how he opens.
So, but yeah, like, I just. And since then, I've been trying to, like, introduce as many people I know to this movie. And, like, the Nice Guys of Shane Black movie help a little bit more people find it, but still, like, it's still kind of out there in the echelon of movies. And he said Robert Downey Jr. became himself. Like, you can almost see, like, his Iron Man in there a tiny bit, you know. But also, it's, even now, like, I just watched this fucking movie, and I probably couldn't tell you that what happens. Like, pretty sure I have an idea. Like, let's see if we can map this out. So, Harmony's sister comes to Hollywood to meet her fake dad because her old dad's a molesting piece of shit. He, at the same time, has an actress who he's having play his daughter who's in a mental institute. Then Harmony finds out that it's a fake daughter because he's doing skeezy shit with the fake daughter. She kills herself.
She thinks
yes, she does.
She thinks it's incest, and that's why she killed herself.
Either way.
Right, she believes it's the daughter, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then he ends up, the fake daughter ends up getting killed in a really, really graphic death scene. And then the real daughter gets killed. And then everybody dies, basically.
Pretty much.
Except Gay Perry. He comes back.
Well, yeah, he dies.
Yeah, and Abraham Lincoln
comes back. Yeah.
We're gonna get to that with my favorite quotes, but yeah, like, and everybody, yeah,
it's and it is the extreme simplified way of mapping it out, and obviously throughout the movie, it is, you know, it's the Pepe Sylvia meme of just 900 pieces of string on the wall and trying to draw conclusions out of the smallest things. But yeah, I mean, it's
okay. Let's just go in the best lines. We're here. Like, can we just dive in the best lines?
Yeah, I actually only wrote a couple down, but there is a lot of them. I guess, and I laughed at it the first time I wrote it down, and like I said, I rewatched like the first half hour before we did this, and I had to laugh again. It's when he meets up with Harmony, and you know, she's talking about just, why don't you go over there and talk to the other girls, and she drops the blonde one, never mind, she's been fucked more times than she's had a hot meal. Which is great, and then he follows it up with, I believe it, yeah, I heard it was neck and neck, but then she skipped lunch. And it is kind of like you said, it is just the way Robert Downey Jr. delivers a lot of these lines is just perfect. He's just spot on in the way he does it.
Mine that I laughed the hardest at the other night was, and it literally woke up the girlfriend in bed next to me, was, so you still gay? No, I'm knee deep in pussy. I just like the name so much I kept it.
Yeah.
Like, he has like, you can, I'm not gonna,
I've never heard it. Someone say knee deep in pussy either. Who the fuck says that?
I'm not gonna say that Kilmer outdoes RDJ, but he goes toe to toe with him a lot in this movie when it comes to deliveries on some of that stuff. And I don't know, I mean, there's definitely other people that could do it, but I was impressed with Kilmer being that good, because RDJ is kind of king of delivery and goofy. It's not necessarily goofy, but delivery like that. I had one of them when they're going back and forth is Kilmer asks, he pulls the whole like, what are you gonna find if you look up the definition of idiot?
Oh my god!
RDJ says me, and he goes, no, the definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are.
Yeah. And I think that's one of them, and I had that one down too, but that's one, it's, Kilmer's delivery on that is just incredible. Like, he's so annoyed and blown away and just pissed off, and
right.
It comes across, and that's one that I think you could even carry over, obviously, into the real world, like, it would apply.
Right, I've never heard that anywhere else, but it would be the perfect way to deal with a stress. Right.
Yeah. And then just kind of, I had down when he's dropping off Harry and he gets the phone, he gives him the phone back about Harmony dying, committing suicide, and he's just leaning on the car and he's just sitting there like, yeah, I gotta go. Yep. I got to get out of here. And he finally just gives him that little push forward so he can drive off. It's just the delivery, just, hey man, you got to move. Like, it's just,
yeah. Where's my gun at? Oh, I got rid of it. What do you mean you got rid of it? I threw it in the lake. I have a pair of priors. You threw a gun that's distinctly made for me in the lake next to the car. Like, they're going to find the gun. But yeah, it's,
that was good. What happens if they drag the lake? Yeah, I mean, even this isn't even really like that good of a line. It's just the scene with the line, and it's kind of one of the points where I was like, okay, this movie obviously is not taking itself seriously, but it's when she slams his fucking finger in the door and chops his finger off, and she just like, I don't even know if he does anything, but she pulls the door back open, and she's like, did I just cut your finger off? Yeah. He's like, yeah, can you pick that up for me? I'm kind of bleeding.
God. And then it gets eaten by a dog.
Yeah. And then after the pink haired girl gets killed and stuff. But
yeah. All right. Speaking of the pink haired girl, I'm sure there'll be more quotes as they come to me. But like I said, I love the dictionary one that Jake said. And Sean, I love the part where, like, raise your hand if you love Harry and hate Harry, and everyone in the party raises
their hand.
And like, and Gay Perry's like, obedient little bitches, aren't they? Or some shit. Like,
He drops that line and then does the perfectly timed little duck of somebody throwing a glass at him.
So, but all right. Who was in this movie, which obviously I feel like won't work, that you did not realize was going to be in this movie? Because you guys have never seen the movie. So, like, anyone that showed up, you're like, oh, that's nice. A nice little, like.
I recognize the pink hair girl right away.
Yep. I always forget she's in this for a second, and I will not pretend to try to pronounce her last name. Shannon.
I think Sossamon.
Sossamon? For sure that's the bad guy in Lord of the Rings. Actually, the bad wizard.
Yeah, kind of what you were saying obviously didn't really have an idea. Like, I knew, obviously, Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer from looking at it, but then I guess from the way the movie started, it was like Larry Miller is recognizable and Corbin Burnson, obviously from Major League and everything. I thought there would just be a little more of them throughout the movie, so I was surprised to like you get Corbin Burnson at the end, but I don't think Larry Miller really ever comes back in the movie.
No, he's just there to be
outside of that first 20 minutes or whatever it is.
Beyond which, of course, that, is from 10 Things I Hate About You, is one I always recognize him from as a dad.
I kind of looked at some of the other ones, but I didn't really. Nobody stood up. Well, I guess one of the kidnappers was.
What is his name? Mr.
Was
Fire
the cop in. Yeah, was the cop in.
Oh, he's an enemy. He's also an enemy of the state.
Yeah, I recognized him, but I couldn't place him in any other things.
I had to go look, and then once I saw he was, the lieutenant
in
or something in Sons of Anarchy. Yep. Yeah.
That's
where Mike and Ike.
Okay, that's where it's.
Once you see Mike and Ike and my friend Mustard or some shit. Like,
yeah, I did that part. I was beyond me. I don't know if there was like some kind of reference or slang or something going on there. That
it says like from the 1940s. So the guy calls him out on it, you know.
Yeah.
I saw a thing because I went and tried to find something and I really didn't find an explanation. It's basically, it was some sort of possible racial or sexual kind of term used in the 40s and 50s. Apparently Mike and Ike's used to be black and white was part of the reason.
So what did you guys think of the narrator third wall breaking? Cause that's where the girlfriend was like, I can't with this bullshit. I can't with him talking to the camera. I can't with him stopping scenes and coming back to me. And like, I forgot things. Let's go back. And like, that's when she like noped out.
Some of it I liked and some of it I didn't, but it was never to the point of like, this makes me want to turn the movie off. It was just like, nah, I don't really think this works right here. It was probably close to 50-50, honestly.
It was definitely something that I had. I don't know. I could tell it was obviously, you know, a little bit different from your normal film style, which whatever. I was fine with writing along with that. It was when, like I said, I paused. I had to go to dinner. I did some stuff. I came back and I watched like that last 15 minutes. And you get to that final scene where he's doing like this big wrap up. And I'm like, what are we trying to do here? Okay, now I have a problem with it. And that's where I just, cause I'm like, I'm confused. I don't
then
know.
He's like, then he's talking directly to the camera. Then he's like, wrapping up the movie. What do you mean you're wrapping up the movie? Like, let these fine people go home.
And that was where that was not great for me. I was just like, okay, he's talking about wrapping up a movie, but yeah, are we doing the like you're talking? And obviously, like Val Kilmer delivers his lines there, just okay, you are literally talking to the audience. And I don't know, it's just a weird little extra little wrap layer that I obviously don't think works. I don't know, because how do you be? I don't know, the character talking directly to the audience about all of this stuff.
I feel like if anything, you could have done it without them talking to the camera, like just like have the part where he's. Well, we'll talk about the last movie, like before that with the dad, which I thought almost takes.
That's where, like I said, I just didn't. it really didn't feel like it was necessary. Like, I felt like everything was okay before that. And then, like, it was different. And some of it's maybe not necessary. But, like, that's part of the shtick, is it's a guy telling a story and sometimes he forgets things. And
right. Yeah. Oh, shit. I forgot.
I mean, sure. Fine. Whatever. Yeah. Forgets that he's telling you about the robot man, you know, or whatever.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that shit right there. The guy in the robot suit that gets drunk. Like, I feel like getting drunk in a robot suit would be pretty fucking fun. Just saying.
Would it?
Gotta be tough to move.
I feel like I just fall quick.
Yeah.
Like, also,
I just don't understand how he got onto that second floor balcony in the first place.
Yeah, right.
I feel like he fell from the balcony above, right? He was like above, and then he got drunk and he fell down to the next one.
No, because he had a full six pack of beer.
Yeah, they said the news thing said he had been walking down the street or something, and then he walks into her.
Maybe it has like a robo fucking upper, like Batman thingy, like he just pulls himself up.
Maybe
he's scaling.
Who's to say?
Maybe he has like fucking Spectre Gadget fucking go-go shoes and he can just fucking bounce up there. What do I know? I'm a bear. I suck the heads off fish.
Oh my God. Speaking of something that didn't need to be in the movie.
What? No. No, we are not shitting on the bear commercial.
I mean, like, okay. It's fine. I like smile.
Are you drinking that beer? You drinking the bear beer?
I mean, I'd try it, but I'd try
it. It's in a green bottle, though. I was like, green bottle beer sucks like shit.
They let UV light in.
I think.
You get skunked. Sorry.
I think after the movie was over and I was scrolling through stuff, I think the voice of that surprised me.
What, the bear?
I believe they said it was Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah.
No, it's not. Really?
I saw it somewhere.
Larry Fishburne is the
bear. I'll see if I can find it again. That's what I thought I said something.
What do I
something
know?
Said that.
I sucked the heads off fish.
It's just so.
On IMDb is under the cameos. It says voice of the bear in fake beer commercials. Lawrence Fishburne.
Now whose favorite did he owe to get in that fucking thing? Like,
also, why would that be your favor? Like, you can get there's all kinds of random voice actors.
Out maybe there. Not even a favor. Like, maybe him and the. Simon Black are just Shane Black are just buddies, and
should be.
So, we will not be discussing what Gay Perry calls his tiny gun because we do not feel like getting canceled.
No, there's a few times, that word's used that we don't need.
There's a handful of things that are. That are not great.
But moving on though, I also laughed really hard when he somehow pisses on the corpse.
Yes,
and then he has to call him and be like. I peed on it. Yeah, but he's like, what do you mean you peed on it? Can they
identify me from I peed on it?
What do you mean she's back? What do you mean she's back?
On how to get rid of it. And then
do you have gloves? What kind of gloves? Yeah, that is. Matter?
Like, what do you mean she's back? Okay. wrap the body up in a blanket and find the gun. Yeah, I threw it in the lake. No, they planted a gun.
Not my gun, dumbass. They planted the body. They planted a gun. Yeah.
Sorry, Perry, but I peed on. What do you mean you peed on the body? I just, you know, like, oh my God.
That's a part I laughed at.
And then the body hits that dumpster. Outrage. Oh my God.
Oh, dude.
So, just thuds halfway through it, halfway into it.
I was like, oh, the roof. They're going to throw it off the roof because, of course, they are in this movie. And then just wham, just 50-50s off the side of the dumpster.
Oh, shit. Yeah, like, oh, man. That like I said, just he's like, I'll be there in 4 minutes. Can you imagine getting that phone call? Like, what do you mean she's back? She followed you. She couldn't have followed you. Anyways, yeah, like, movie's just, it's fun, but also, like, I feel like at that point, after the whole part of the body, like it almost like it's still funny, but then like the tone shifts a tiny bit. Like I feel like the last slowdown about that point in my head.
Because I think they start trying to they start like trying to actually work through the plot and tie the plot up instead right. of have all the little like the funny skits and funny moments and stuff. And so that's why, yeah, I think that's probably when it kind of shifts. Like,
real quick before we talk about Michelle Monaghan, how do you pronounce her last name?
You said it right, Monaghan.
Monaghan, who's from Iowa, who's very spectrally looks great in this movie from Iowa. She's also in the new White Lotus season. Her character's not near as nice as that. But before we get into her character arc and Harmony, can we discuss the crazy fucking bug-eyed friend who's just like twitchy and like, I don't know how to discuss her about, like, she's just awful personality wise. And like who seems like a bad hang, right? Buzz, buzz, little bee, get the fuck out of here. What the hell she says to him?
She certainly didn't seem like a lot of fun in that scene. That's true. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And also, she was like, I mean, like, what is the, all right, in that situation, I was like, why is this friend just coming? Like, Harmony's not giving off like a come save me or come tell this guy to fuck off vibe in that conversation at all either. But her friend, that friend just comes over and is like, hey, go away now. Like, that was weird. I guess it was to introduce her for then the next part where he ended up having sex with her, like when they hung out.
Oh my, like, I get it. And like, he even says like later on, he's like, I self sabotage, yeah. whatever. But like, that's a pretty hard self sabotage.
Yeah,
I get it.
That's a,
I mean, I've been known to self sabotage in my past, but like, that is that's end of the tree, 100 miles per hour, no seatbelt. Like, that's just fucking crash this bitch, you know?
Yeah, that was it probably didn't need to be, they probably didn't need to have that. They probably could have given other examples of him doing self-sabotage.
It does set up later, though, when, like, Harmony's finally, like, come to bed, and he's like, no, and then she's like, no, no, it's fine, and then she's like, oh, and then he's like, but I gotta tell you something, and, like, he kicks her out. He's like, Chetney, you had sex with my best friend, Chetney? Yeah, I was leaving. He looks sad. He looks sad, so you had sex with Chetney?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's nice that they turned the tables, right? Like, so she kicked him out, and then he kicks her out. Like, it shows he has, like, he's not completely dumb for her, right?
Sure.
You're just gonna leave me out there on that ledge to die by myself. That's fine. Fuck both of you.
I mean, yes, but no. Like, the whole premise is on the whole. You know, she's the one that got away, but, you know, but yeah, there was, she slept with everybody, but she made one exception, you know.
What does he say, like, sad boner or something? Like, he goes,
yeah,
when she's crying, crying on your.
But yeah. You've got a Rodney, I believe, is the word.
Yes!
Is the phrase.
Who calls it a Rodney? It's up there saying, can I have a snort at the bar? It's just a term you don't say anymore.
That was a new one, but yeah, it was enough. It was close enough that I was like, oh my god, that's ridiculous.
That is not what James Vanderbeek listed off in Varsity Blues. I don't believe he said Rodney.
No, he said Pedro, but not Rodney.
So, all right, so we're on Harmony. The spider scene. What the fuck is that? Like,
yeah,
it's a fucking creepy ass spider. I'm watching it right now. Like, as a,
yeah, I think I would have just like smacked it, or like, I don't know, like, that's just get the fucking spider off of her, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, we're trying to like tiptoe around this, but we're gonna make it work. It's fine.
It's, I mean, you do something that's not what, apparently give a giant flick just right down on her chest.
It's like he waits and then, yeah, just literally
giving
just
her chest taps basically. Yeah. And then,
who has who here has a flick the boob? Flick, I guess, like, a titty.
No, but seriously,
when it's gonna be our Size House trivia name when they turn it back.
Flick the titty, you didn't like that one. But seriously, when he first spots it, like, it's on her chest, just fucking like. Just swipe the spider off of her chest.
Swipe it, dude.
Just slap it like fucking Jesus. Uma Thurman and fucking Pulp Fiction. Just fucking bring your hand down. Just fucking,
I don't know about that, but you can get rid of the spider before it's like actually in her cleavage.
it was, well, technically it was in her cleavage and it moved to her boob. Well,
yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, before it even gets to her cleavage, you could have just
respectfully
like, wiped the spider away.
Respectfully, of course. And also, like, I did hate when he was like, when she's like, it's okay, it's no biggie. And he's like, of course it's the fucking biggie. Like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, I'm a, like, you should be upset about this.
Yeah, that was kind of one of those where initially I kind of was okay with like that interaction. And then he just like took it so far that he was like,
what's he say? It's like everyone shook the country and all the crazy bitches or crazy women ended up in California.
That was one.
I'm not sure if that was right then, but like,
yeah.
No, I shouldn't say crazy bitch. Is it
was all the, well, I think he says somebody,
all the normal ones.
All the normal ones. On the coast. Yeah. No, that scene was, yeah. It's just like, what are we like? We're trying then, to like build up his like respect for women. Is
and then he walks in and promptly pees on the corpse. Like, he goes straight into him peeing on the corpse.
It's so, yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, that's supposed to be funny. Like, that can't, like,
she's back. Just such in what do you mean she's back?
Such in shock that he just turns 90 degrees to his left and keeps
peeing. It just keeps peeing. Dude, work on your kinkle muscles, man. Like, pinch that off.
Yeah. I just.
Have you never been drunk in a bar where you've got to hold it for a second? Like, just kink it off.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, and then, yeah, then it all goes to shit. All right, so how drunk would you have to be to enjoy that fucked up Christmas party that he ends up going to?
I mean,
like,
I
don't know. Could you do it, like, half buzzed? Or like,
I don't know if I could, if I'm being honest.
I almost think you'd have to, like, just, like, be so.
Does it. I don't think I could be sober, but I don't think drunk does it.
Might need to leave.
I think you might need to ask somebody for a snort.
Yeah, I think being on a bunch of painkillers probably helps.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that was after his finger.
So she leaves him. Fucking gets, she cuts his finger off a door, which I'm not sure even happens, and she leaves him at the hospital. But
yeah, it's,
the reindeer really creeped me out. The reindeer really creeped me out. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't.
There was a lot of super strange ones. I mean, they're all strange, but
live art pieces or something is what I guess what they're supposed to be doing, but it was weird.
I mean, it's LA where all the crazies are, so yeah, like, it just, man, that's a scene. And so I don't know even how we can discuss this, and I feel like it's a safe place, and I don't want to like get publicly shamed. Like, I might get caught with the if like Red Dirt was on here, like horny police. But she's the sexiest Santa Claus ever in existence, right?
Ever
or
in existence.
Mrs. Claus? I mean, not as hot as sexy Target Santa from this past year. That dude was pretty swole.
I don't have the reference of all of them ever. She looks very good. Yeah, that like, is true.
Yeah, I think.
I was just thinking, like,
there's
how, like,
probably a discussion to be had. It's crazy to me that she, dressed as she is, can run around MacArthur Park and hide behind trees and nobody even notices.
Well, I just right made out. A note of it because of her boots. She's like sprinting around and she's got like boots with heels on.
You know what's her name from Jurassic World has nothing on that. Howard, when she's running from the T-Rex in her high heels.
Yeah so, with a flare up in the air, just all the body control.
Some massive calves. Definitely works out, as Lloyd Christmas says. Anyways, yeah, like I said, like at this point, like, it's like the tone shifts hard. And yeah, those fucking deer are fucked up. They don't have hands. It's just hooves. Like, what the
fuck? They're hooves. They're deer. Or they're
like,
reindeer.
No, it's a person. Oh, okay. Just fuck that. No.
They also have antlers. Like, what do
we? Yeah, but the antler. Fuck. No. No.
Reindeer.
No.
It's nope. Weird, man. I agree. It's weird, but
I don't kink shame, but I don't know who the fuck's into that. Anyways, How many people does Harry kill in this movie? Like, his body count gets up, right? Like, let's go through it.
Well, I don't know what his total is. I know what the total for the movie is. It's in the trivia. I believe it's 16 for the movie.
Because they discuss it. They I don't know if they're all Harry. In the books, they say 16 people always die in a... In those novels. I figured it was 16. So he kills the henchman, right? Yeah. The first henchman, after he kills the girl from the Knight's Tale. And then he kills a guy because he can't do Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a line from that.
And then he kills Dexter, or whatever his name is. And then he kills at least two guys in that car below him, right? Or three.
Two.
So that's at least, he's at five right now. And I feel like we're missing one. But anyway,
I'm at the scene where she's in the van driving with the casket, so
we'd be able to count right then. But like, all right, let's discuss
the Russian. We're not missing any there.
Let's discuss the Russian roulette scene. good cop. No, wait, no. Let's say gay this cop. New Yorker.
This is no. He uses the F slur, but
yeah,
yeah. This isn't good cop, bad cop. This is gay cop, New Yorker.
Yeah. And he spins it, and Perry's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
Yeah, he unloads it and puts the bullet back in, spins it, and just blows the guy's brains out. And he's like, "Didn't I only put one bullet in there?"
He's like, "It's 8% chance."
That's like an 8% chance.
He's like, "Stop trying to do math.
How to do math.
How to do math."
Fucking Bobby Hill, my math's called math. And like, I thought for sure he was going to be like, you know, when you spin that, it always stops at the top or some shit. Like, you know, like I thought that's where he's going to go with, but like, he's like, it's okay. He was going to kill you anyways. It's fine. Like, just don't worry about it. You know, like.
Yeah, just trying to give him the reasoning of just.
Like, just stop trying to explain what happened. This is what happened. He's dead. Like, just. and then after that, they get caught and he's getting tortured. That's a quote we forgot. He's like, Perry's trying to like get him like to like let him put his hands on his pants so he can shoot with a little minigun. And he's like antagonizing him the whole time. Harry's getting his balls zapped. He's like, "Stop helping! Stop helping!
He's just pissing him off, so he's zapping him more. Oh, that would be. I don't want to get electric. Well, I've been zapped by like cars or house voltage
before. Me and my friends used to have a drunk. A drunk like game. That? We had a drunk game where you had to hold a buzzer and it would spin, like a light would spin, and it would just pick a random person. And the goal was like to act like you weren't getting shocked to see how tough you were. And it hurt so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Also, we were idiots. But yeah, I think shocking my testicles or wherever he attached it to would not be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
Like that's where
I don't really want to talk about the technicalities and logistics of where they were attached to.
I mean, that's what I feel like being a grower, not a shower, might be coming to help. That's where they're attached to. I'm just saying.
Is it just a dick or? Oh. I broke Ted. Nice.
Okay.
I'm really glad I got that one in there.
Yeah, I was going to. All right. Well, besides the Esslers, is there anything that hasn't aged well besides that?
I mean, I think probably the only thing else is like all of the phones are corded and or old looking.
Oh, my God. They had Motorola photos in that fucking phone. I had a Razor once.
Yeah, you broke it. Before, super pixelated it cell even. Phone pictures. You've got little digitized 8-bit ringtones.
Yeah. The phones are probably the.
When was the last time you picked a specific ringtone for anything?
Oh my God. 2010.
I think I had one up until four years ago.
Oh my God. Probably in high school.
Well, I mean,
I've had my phone silenced.
It's on silent, but literally went to my phone. It's not on silent. Someone says, I'm going to call you. And I put on sound and put it in my pocket. Like, if they're like, I'm going to call you as I'm like walking into a store, then I'm like, well, fuck, I don't want to miss this, you know. But.
Well, for a long time, I had mine on.
Those boots aren't that high heels. They're like 3 inches.
Okay.
Okay.
We can we can put some fucking heel boots on and see how good we run around, buddy.
I feel like
I'm betting I can't do it very well. So
I bet if we show those, the most of the girls in TGS are not going to say they're super high.
Yep, and I would like to see most of them sprinting around.
They probably fucking could, and we'd all get fucking shamed for it.
I couldn't fucking do it. So
yeah.
I my phone would be on silent vibrate. Like basically ever since high school, it was silent vibrate because I can't have that shit going on.
When I had the flip phone Motorola, which that's not what they have here, I definitely had Sex and Candy as my ringtone from Marcy Playground. Yeah. I own that CD too, to the surprise of nobody.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere in those days, I purchased some ringtones. I couldn't tell you today what any of them were. But yeah,
I don't know if I ever bought any because of like my age shifted back. Yeah, like shifted back to the point of like I was like getting bootleg like sent audio ringtones and shit. I wasn't I wasn't buying them because I didn't have like disposable income to spend like $4 on a ringtone or whatever the hell it cost.
Right. Like, and now you just download like apps and like you can get them, but I haven't done that in a hot minute. So, all right. So really nothing that like took you out of the movie besides just like technology from like, what is this made? 04, 05? I'd 05. Never. Yeah. That tracks by when I saw it.
Honestly, and we've referenced it a couple times, maybe the worst thing of taking me out of the movie is the last Val Kilmer or the scene with the dad when he's slapping the dad.
Real tough guy. Head.
Yeah.
Just like, it doesn't fit the rest of the movie.
No.
Like it's just.
Yeah. It's a.
And they don't even pay it off with like a. Something like a, yeah. And you were real tough when you were whatever.
Right,
taking advantage of your daughter or something. It was just like, yeah, real tough guy.
Just the little,
Well, he says the
sniper mark back, and
you know, he says like you might not pull the trigger, but you pull the trigger 20 years ago that just now,
right?
Just now hit,
right?
Still, just that whole scene was not necessary, and it was not good. It was not executed well.
It just takes out. It could have ended on, you know, him turn around and letting him eyeball the orderly's ass as he walked around. Like, I'm gonna give you 5 seconds or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's a whole, because you already get the wrap up, you know, where they, you know, where he reveals the whole thing of, yeah, she wasn't actually killed. She did kill herself. This is what the case was about. She thought it was incest. This is what she discovered. You get that whole wrap up. And then, yeah, that whole scene is for him to deliver the real tough guy thing and then walk downstairs and we get another Bear beer commercial for some reason.
What like, I sucked the heads off fish.
Well, for some reason, they decided to throw that in there with the 35-year-old actress that had never made it or whatever.
Right.
Like that was the kind of the point, the payoff of that, I guess. Yeah. But it was like, oh, okay. Like I don't.
Oh, yeah,
not that everything he made in the another movie beer is like,
commercial. Like I don't know, it's
not that everything in the movie is like serious and needs to mean something or give you a huge payoff. But like, I don't know. I felt the end. Yeah, it was just like there was actually a good way to end, like a pretty solid way to just let that movie end, and they just wouldn't. And it made it.
It should have ended in the hospital room when Abe Lincoln shows back up and like. And then they did a voiceover like what actually happened, and they just end it there. And they even like make fun of the fact that like we're not gonna be the Lord of the Rings movie with 18 endings.
Right.
They point at it with their at the time pop culture little piece of we're not gonna give you 4 different times the movie should end. But then that's exactly what they do. Give you another scene and another scene.
And they do it poorly.
Yeah, and none of it's worth anything. Like, it's just
It would be different if it was like funny little skitty scenes that were tying stuff up or something, but none of it was really like, it just didn't work. It just didn't work. They should have just ended it when they were walking in the hospital hallway, like, and that probably would have been the best way to do it.
And then, like, a narrator, like, just be like, this is what happened. This is what, you know, but yeah, like, either way, we're talking about, we're getting too into the weeds here on this movie. I'm just glad that they brought everyone back and everyone lived, including Abe Lincoln. So
that seems like it's one of those like meta scenes or whatever where you're just like acknowledging what you're doing, which is like fine, that's okay. But they did it like, yeah, it's that one was fine to me. I thought it was funny, but
when you I've used that, we discussed earlier, like quotes we use, like that, I use that one a lot. Like, and like just randomly, it makes no sense when I use that. Oh, let's bring everybody else back. It's fine. No one cares. Bring them back. So, what's everyone's favorite part of the movie?
I think the hardest I laughed was when they threw the body off the roof. I really do. It's probably not like my favorite. It's, well, obviously it's not really two people interacting. But yeah, that was the hardest laugh they got out of me, I think. Just because it was like, I was still kind of on the fence of like trying to figure out what they were doing. And then they just like threw the body off the roof and off the side of the dumpster.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great moment of just, they give the little look to each other at the roof access sign, and they, you know, and then not only throw her off, just smoke the side of the dumpster, and then have to load her up, and then have to kiss to distract the cops. Yeah,
kiss the cops.
And then she's like, "Why are you kissing the other guy there?" He's like, "Oh, we're it's the old In and Out.
I love that. For me, it's probably." Basically right before that, when they find the body, the whole,
oh my god, that's all situation. I got priors in New York. I can't be
the car flying above into the lake, and Harry just takes off, and Perry the whole time is just going, there's not even a body, there's nobody in the car, like, what are you doing?
About when, like, he swipes the water and, like, tries to look through it.
Yeah,
like,
he tries to look through it. And then, yeah, he gets back and just, like, you know, just, is she dead? Just, no, she's just resting her eyes for a minute. Yeah, of course she's dead. She's got a broken neck. And then he fires back with the, well, do you think they're going to believe she had a broken neck before you shot her in the head? And he's like, what are you talking about? And then, yeah, you get the idiot line, and it's just, it's all really well delivered and done.
And he hits up the fucking briefcase. Is that a clue?
Yeah, and is that a clue?
I think there's a few really. There's definitely a few really good. I mean, like I said,
mine is still a knee deep in pussy line. That fucking great. Like, are you still gay? No, man, I'm knee deep in pussy. That's like the nickname.
That's one of them. There's like, I don't know, four or five times where Downey's character is being like pretty genuine in doing something or saying something, and Kilmer is just like, no, you're a fucking idiot, and has a great like comeback. And there's like multiple times that happens, and those are probably some of the best scenes in the movie. And like I said, that's when like those two are just like in the scene and going at it like with their prowess of you know,
stop helping.
Well, I even get the scene where they're like on the roof or wherever they are, and Kilmer's telling him just to like leave, like, this is over, go home.
Oh man, that sucks.
And like Downey punches him, and then Kilmer puts him in the headlock.
I get it.
Like,
you want to hit me? And he just hits him.
As he's saying it, he just jacks him in the side of the head. Yeah, there's most of.
And then he makes him pick the sunglasses back up.
Yeah,
yeah, pick those up.
Yeah, pretty much any. I don't know that I can pick any of those scenes where those two are just solo, like playing off.
Colin Farrell need to fucking bring his price down. Fuck Colin Farrell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's What a name to throw in. I don't know why that
just catching a stray. Just catch it. Colin Farrell was like in the theater. He's like, "What the fuck, man?" Like, he's probably talking like a date to the theater. And she's like, "Oh man, you're a real piece of shit, huh?" He's like, "It's not even about me." How about the fact that early on his partner just gets killed by some random woman on a fucking fire escape? He's like, "I don't have the gun. It's not a gun."
Oh, the very beginning, yeah. When he gets runs into the tryout and
did you catch he wears that jacket through the whole movie and he just has fucking duct tape on the bullet hole?
No, I did not. That's great.
I did not either.
So anytime he's got like a jacket on, he's got that same.
Yeah, I wonder what Shane Black's up to now. So, like, it's wild to me that you guys don't. Have you guys seen The Nice Guys? Either one of you two?
No, I have not.
I haven't watched
it. Oh my God.
I've had it like pulled up a couple times and I'm like, I really should watch this. And I've watched the trailer like three times and I'm just like, I'm near later.
It is so good. It's Ryan Gosling at his best. It's Russell Crowe at his best. It is. It's great. Has he really not written anything since then? Holy shit. Okay. Wow. So I'm looking at Shane Black's IMDb. He did The Predator, which is not a terrible predator, and then he just stopped.
Right. Well, yeah, he's got a weird like.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did do the last Boy Scout screenplay. I forgot about that.
Lethal Weapon, 1 and 2. Last Boy Scout, 3.
Iron Man 3.
Lethal Weapon 4. Yeah, but then and then he just like jumps to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And AWOL, and then jumps to Iron Man 3. I think he had maybe some stuff.
He's a really big Iron like
Man though, right? Like that's probably why RDJ ended up there.
He's really big on like uncredited rewrites where like they like bring him in to like touch up the dialogue, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen the first Predator in a minute, but he's in that movie. And also like I said, Lethal Weapon and just very clever dialogue. The Nice Guys is really good. I should make you fucking do that for this podcast. It's very funny.
I think we should just watch it.
I mean, sure. I agree. Go watch it. It's probably better than this movie, but this movie has like a closer part of my heart. That sounds sappy as hell. You slept with Chet Chetney. I'm kicking you out of my house. She looks sad. I don't give a shit.
I did not expect that to come back.
I feel like we gotta give him some respect there. Like, just be like, she hurt his feelings, even though it was 20 years ago, and he's just like,
never, just can't let it go.
Never again.
For a couldn't let it go.
Also, Chet Chetney's a great fucking fake name. No one would believe that as a real name, Chet Chetney.
He couldn't let that fact go, except it took her being like, you don't know who the fuck I am in the bar. Like, you don't recognize me. The one that got his white whale, the one that got away, he didn't recognize her.
I had to tell the girlfriend what white whale term meant, which...
Moby Dick?
Yeah, no, not that part, but like when guys say to white whale or women say to white whale.
I mean,
like,
yeah, that's the...
Yeah, the one that got away.
Great white buffalo.
You're a white buffalo person. Okay. All right, Bill Murray.
Yes, I'm a great white buffalo person. Hot Tub Time Machine does not get the credit it deserves.
I have not seen that movie in a long time.
I bet there's parts of that movie that don't age great, but I bet it's still fucking hilarious. Oh, there
absolutely is.
We're having that nerdy glasses guy. That nerdy glasses kid that's in that. That dude's always funny as shit in every movie, and he just disappeared. He's in that Sex Drive movie. It's fucking hilarious as hell now.
Jonah Hill got fat again and took all the roles.
Well, man, yeah. Also, Jonah Hill became a piece of shit. But, you know.
Yeah.
Which happens. Also, Seth Rogen's still out there touring his. That studio show is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I guess just a couple of things of what you guys were touching on. Obviously, this did grow into him doing Iron Man and everything next. I don't know how much you read it. I don't usually read into the trivia. I let Ted usually bring it to the table, but there's
you guys didn't know who Shane Black was.
IMDb. Apparently
I'm Johnny excited Knoxville for
the, supposed to have Robert Downey Jr.'s role.
The first person that calls out you're eating chips on this podcast.
Sorry. It was right there. I had to throw it in.
I don't care.
I'm going to have to fucking skip every time I hear his first crunch. 30 seconds. All right. Tez is
fucking pork grinds.
That's the only one. The bag's basically empty. I don't need to go back to that well.
He's been eating the only one, motherfucker. That's about the 10th one you've eaten.
Dude, Arrow Winter is Harmony fucking age 7. Holy shit. From Modern Family. Anyways, go ahead. Tez, I'm done interrupting you.
No, there's a whole bunch of, obviously, the lists of these guys weren't who they first had cast and like they were a ways down, but man, there's some crazy names in some of them. Like I said, they wanted Johnny Knoxville for,
we'll go through
Robert Downey Jr.'s role. There's one of them. Where'd that one just go? They wanted Hugh Grant for Gay Perry.
I cannot imagine Johnny Knoxville playing.
I feel like
RDJ's role.
I could see Johnny Knoxville doing that before Hugh Grant as Gay Perry.
Well, Johnny Knoxville can't actually act the way that RDJ can. Like, he couldn't carry scenes. You would have to have like Val Kilmer or anybody else carry every scene and just have Johnny Knoxville be goofy.
Yeah,
the main yeah, he would be Dukes of Hazzard movie.
It would be an interesting one. I'll see if I can come across it here, but there was a few of them that were just like, okay, they didn't really, because I think these guys together did very, very well.
Yeah.
I think they acted off of each other really well. There's one thing that even says like they had actually met each other when they first met each other, like a week later was when like Val Kilmer got sent the screenplay. And he basically like signed on like right away. This was another one. Warner Brothers was willing to produce the movie with a larger budget if Harrison Ford was to play the detective. obviously went down the line to Val Kilmer.
Okay, what's Dirty Play is a movie. I'm sorry, I'm looking at Shane Black's upcoming movie, sorry.
But yeah, it's the rest of it
sucks.
Yeah, that's where, as a thank you for putting him back into the A-list with this film, Robert Downey Jr. pushed for Shane Black to be involved in the Marvel franchise. Got him Iron Man 3.
I just saw who the lead actor is for a new Shane Black movie. Who would be the most like disappointing lead actor that you could go with that's, quote, a major movie star? He used to be in a boy band. Well, no, wait. He used to be in a band. His brother used to be in a boy band.
Well, now you just really he used to be in a
band.
He's a singer in the early 90s. His brother was in a boy band. I feel like that's a pretty good fucking clue.
Leto?
Oh, man. And RDJ was attached to Star beforehand. This fucking sucks.
Tell us the band.
His brother's in?
Yeah, sure. Give me that.
Fucking New Kids on the Block. I understand that was before Jake was born. You're
giving me Marky Mark.
Fucking Wahlberg?
Yeah, Wahlberg's in the new Shane Black movie after RDJ turned the role down.
That's uber disappointing. I mean, I don't know.
That sucks. I think that is uber. That sucks.
I find that less disappointing than you, but.
A thief gets a shot in a major heist. We must outsmart a South American dictator, the New York mob, and the world's richest man. That seems a little on the thumb. Is Wahlberg playing the fucking South African? Because that'd make me happy. But no, he's playing the thief. So,
oh, South African.
Yeah. So we got world richest man and a South African dictator. I feel like that's the same person in current politics, but you know.
It depends on the week.
We're completely off rails now. All right. I'm sure if we have any more questions to ask. This might be the shortest podcast we've had in a minute.
I don't think so. We're coming up on an hour anyway. I think that would be just fine. Instead of an hour and a half.
Like on Hoosiers where that coach beat the shit up, beat that player to death. Well, it's empty the notebook, I guess.
I have one note left that was not mentioned at any point, and it was when they get held up at the mental hospital, and Val Kilmer like turns the tides on the guy, and RDJ like takes the pistol and pistol whips the guy back. He's like, doesn't that fucking suck? The guy just like smacked the fuck out of him earlier. He's like, yeah, does that suck? Whack.
And don't stand behind a guy with a gun. You need to walk back five feet. Yeah,
the pros actually give themselves about 5 feet, so you can't reverse the gun on them.
Yeah, I didn't looking over mine. I think we've pretty well touched everything. I mean, I did have opening scene has Santa hat and a Christmas song. Didn't realize the whole thing would be on Christmas Day. I go, this is definitely a Christmas movie.
it's 4 days. But Shane Black movies are at Christmas. Iron Man 3 is at Christmas. Lethal Weapons at Christmas.
Like, yeah. And then I had just basically the whole when we get introduced to Harmony, she's in the middle of a vent session about how Rudolph is about racism. And
Getting canceled. We're still getting canceled.
But you know, then they found out Reggie could play basketball, so they signed him, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Which
it's quite an introduction to a character.
It is the exact.
I mean, you can connect ties of inclusivity or non-inclusivity to Rudolph, and that's fine.
Right.
But to like straight up be like, this is about racism when it was. The story written in like the 20s is like, okay.
That is some peak early 2000s. I'm coked up. I have some some opinions on something.
That's something, that's for sure.
And it is, I mean, it's something like that scene doesn't come back. It doesn't pay off. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know what that meeting is.
She dresses up as a... Mrs. Claus, and I can't believe I called her a sexy Santa Claus earlier, and I'm having questions about that now.
That's all right.
So this is what she does every year after a couple eggnogs, is she brings up that Rudolph is a racist tale. I don't think that's good.
And we can discuss how Santa Claus is a real piece of shit in that fucking special, but that's fine.
I don't think we need to go there.
Dude, that's when you watch that special. Santa Claus is a prick.
I'm not saying that that's not a valid thing to talk about, but I do not think that we need to extend this podcast talking about it.
Just saying Gabe Perry would have shot him. Anyways, bring everybody back. That's the quote I use all the time. I don't know why. I just always say, like, bring everyone back. It's fine. Gabe Perry's alive. It's fine.
So
even funny. Though literally fucking grape jelly that are shoreway jelly that he spits out.
Running out of his mouth while he's on his back. Yeah, because he wouldn't have suffocated.
And I'm not one to, like, pick plot holes in a movie and we need to go, but like I feel like hanging by a corpse's arm out of a casket, that arm just gonna like just pull out, like the shoulder's just gonna dislocate and like you're just gonna like fall.
I know this all takes place in a decently short amount of time.
Jake is like, can we just stop?
But that body's either waterlogged or rigor mortis is setting in, and there's really no in between. And like it's just, but that arm is floppy. And
what's embalmed? It's in a
basket. I just assumed that the bone would like crack and he would just fall.
Well, the bone would break, but that doesn't mean that the arm just rips apart.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not how muscles and tendons
work. We need to get Mythbusters back on the air. I want to find out how much a fucking dead body 4 days past can hold by its arm. Let's make a TikTok about this. Get some of that fucking jelly they have in all those History Channel shows
there where
they
like
with the swords and shit.
Talking about ballistic gel.
That's exactly that.
God,
not quite the same thing.
Think that's going to equate to an arm with a bone and muscles and tendons in it, but sure, you can do that.
All right. I'm glad we did this podcast.
I'm glad that we watched this movie, but
it's very funny. You guys should watch The Nice Guys. I'm actually going to peer pressure you motherfuckers to watch it.
Although I have like 3 TV shows that I need to watch / rewatch right now that are coming out. So.
Well, Nice Guys is only a couple hours. And I think we're gonna do Mission Impossible here soon.
Yeah.
And I think we should do Superbad because Jake wanted to do that last May and we never got to it. So
Sure.
I'm sure we can handle Superbad and not just constantly talk about how much of a piece of shit Jonah Hill is these days. It's fine. You know, it's a movie about two teenagers that feel like they have to get girls drunk to have sex with them. What could go wrong in that conversation on a podcast? All right. Till then, I should find a clever catchphrase to say. I should work on that. You know,
to infinity and beyond. Oh wait, that's making a fifth. You can't do that.
They're making a fifth Toy Story because nothing is sacred. I did go see a new Minecraft movie this weekend. That happened.
I think that movie looks fun, but
I laughed 3 or 4 times, and I feel like that got my money's worth considering I was in a theater of a bunch of 10 to 14-year-olds. Like,
I
maybe
also like
$4.
Jack Black a lot, so
yeah, it's there's an extra scene, and I look over my 13-year-old. I'm like, so is that like Nick Fury? What happened there? And he's like, yeah, exactly like Nick Fury. I'm like, I don't understand who that person is, but sure, I'm glad you guys do. All right, so next time I am Mike Ike and Mr. Mustard. Which did he say Mr. Mustard? Am I messing
something
up the third
about thing? Mustard? I don't. I didn't. Understand
there is a mustard. Yeah. There's a. Yeah, I don't think there's any real clarification on what's what, but I believe there is a Mr.
God
Mustard.
Damn it! I forgot my favorite part. One of my favorite parts was when he gets shot through the book, and he's like, "The book stopped the bullet," and she's like, "I don't think the book stopped the bullet," and Harry's actually shot because, you know, books don't stop the bullet. Anyways, I'm gonna figure out something clever one of these days, and I'll say it, and everyone will laugh, and I'll forget what I said, and it'll never happen again. So, I'm Ted Flint, Jake Voss, Sean Sensen, Testerman, Shantez Festerman. I got there.
There
fuck
we go.
Off.
We got there.
Go watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and The Nice Guys, and apparently the new movie, fucking Mark Wahlberg. Oh, all right, later, guys.
All right, see you later.
See ya.